another exciting day. I've got such an exciting word to share with you today. We're in this series called Fully Alive, and talking about this idea that Jesus, his mission when he came to earth was to bring life so that we would be able to live. We would no longer be dead to sin. We could truly come alive. But not only that we would come alive, but Jesus also said that he came that we would have life more abundantly, a fulfilled life. And so that's what we're talking about for the next couple of weeks, just this idea of us living fully alive. How many of you have ever seen the show Biggest Loser? Any fans of the Biggest Loser show here this morning? Each season, this group of unhealthy, obese individuals, they compete against each other to see who can lose the most weight and make the most profound transformation, all to the enjoyment of the American public. And it can be incredibly inspiring to watch these people as they make these significant lifestyle changes, to watch the pounds melt away week after week after week. But what I always find interesting about the show are the weekly doctor visits that the contestants make to Dr. Robert Huizenga. And when they initially meet the doctor, that first visit, the doctor always asks them, what is their inspiration to lose weight? And ultimately, to make these lifestyle changes, to make healthy choices. And of course, the TV show producers, they're incredible at invoking emotion. And they always pan out to the contestant, maybe their newborn child who is at home, or they just recently got married. And so it shows pictures of their new husband, their new wife. And most often the contestants have decided to make these profound changes, these lifestyle modifications, because they just had a brand new baby. And they realize that if they don't get their life under control, that they're going to miss seeing their little baby grow up. They're going to miss out on these amazing years with them. They're going to miss out on these amazing seasons of life with them. And so they show the reason why, the inspiration behind these contestants making these massive changes in their life. And then at times, Dr. Huizenga will run a myriad of tests on these individuals, and oftentimes he'll diagnose them with something like type 2 diabetes or hypertension, or oftentimes there's heart problems, all because of their weight issues. And he begins to tell them that these contestants, they will literally die if they don't do something about their weight. In other words, he tells them that they have to start living for something greater than what they previously were living for if they want to keep on living. And I want us to understand this morning that I think the Biggest Loser has tapped into this incredible truth that can literally transform our lives today. And it's this, is that you really start living when you stop living only for yourself. You really start living, if you really want to live fully alive, you really start living when you stop living only for yourself. And that's kind of what I want to talk to us about today, is that for us as individuals, as human beings, and especially as Christians this morning, that this is a truth that each of us can and must take to heart, is that to be fully alive, we must live for something greater. We must live for something greater. Now, we live in a very consumer-focused society. This is kind of what the American culture is built on, this concept that we can get whatever we want, whenever we want, whenever we want it, and we literally take in, we consume, we're constantly consuming until culturally we are obese, we're lethargic, we're sick, and what's worse is this diagnosis has crept its way into the church as well. Churches is oftentimes measured by what it does for you. You come to a Sunday morning experience and it's like, did I enjoy the music? You know, did it make me move? Was the volume just right for the settings just right for my hearing? Did it make me feel good? Did the sermon speak to me? How many programs were available for me this morning? And oftentimes our experience or our satisfaction is dictated by what it has done for us. And this constant intake does nothing for us, but oftentimes makes us spiritually obese. We become lethargic. We become sick. Like, we need to be entering ourselves into the next Biggest Loser contest. And our spiritual life begins to plummet. We become spiritually lethargic. It reminds me of the Dead Sea, the sea that has no outlet. It's constantly taking in, consuming, and it never gives out at all. And because of that, to this day, nothing can live in the Dead Sea. Fish are unable to live in the Dead Sea. It's dead. It's dead. Some of us this morning, spiritually, we're dead. All we're doing is consuming. We take in, we consume, we consume. Everything's dictated by, our satisfaction is dictated by what it does for us. And spiritually, we're only consuming. We're never giving out. And the diagnosis this morning is that some of us are spiritually dead. But there's an antidote to this sickness, and it's found in the example of the Biggest Loser contest, and it can be found in our lives today, and it's this: we must live for something greater. We must live for something great. We must understand that there is more to life than just what we personally experience. We must live for something greater. And I want to give you three ways that I believe, if you'll live your life this way, what I'm going to share with you this morning, if you'll live your life this way, the three ways I'm going to show you this morning, that you will fully be alive, that you will come alive, that you will live every single day fully alive, full of life. You know the people that you look at and you're jealous of the way they are because they're constantly full of life, they're fully alive. I'm going to give you three ways that if you'll follow these directions this morning, if you'll live the way that I'm going to share with you this morning, you'll be that person that is living fully alive. Number one, in fact, you may want to take out a pen and paper or your phone this morning and write these down. Okay, number one, here's the first way you can live fully alive, is to live with an open hand. Live with an open hand. Remember when you were a kid at Christmas time? And the satisfaction level at Christmas time was dictated by what you got, right? Like, you woke up on Christmas morning, you ran downstairs, you wanted to see what your parents got you for Christmas, what you were going to open that day. In fact, to take it to the next step further, you wanted to make sure you got more presents than anybody else that morning, right? I've got two kids, Megan and Drew, and Sonia, and I try to do our best every year to make sure that they have equal amount of presents, right? Because this is the way kids think. Kids are kind of immature. They are very self-centered. They only think about themselves, right? Because that's what you do as a child. And so their satisfaction level on Christmas is dictated by what they receive. But as you grow older, now today I'm a parent. And you know what my satisfaction level is on Christmas is dictated by? Is by seeing the joy on my kids' faces when they open up the things that I spent my hard-earned money to give them that morning. Literally, the joy on my face is expressed when I see them and they're ecstatic because they just opened up, you know, their new Xbox, or I got Drew the newest Fortnite game. Oh man, if I was to buy him, when I bought him Fortnite, it was like game over, right? Because that's the way that children receive. But when you get older, your joy comes from watching other people unwrap the gifts that you give them. Why? Because you grew up, right? You stop being self-centered. It stopped being about me. This is called maturity. And unfortunately, some people never grow up. Life is still all about them and what they can get out of it. And here's the deal. They never learn the joy of generosity. Listen to me this morning. Generous people, write this down. You got to write some things down this morning. Live with an open hand, and here's what you need to write down. Generous people are the happiest people. Generous people are the happiest people. Anybody want to increase your level of happiness this morning? Listen, generosity. Some of you are just content being grumpy. You're content just going through life and not being happy. But if you want to increase the levels of happiness in your life, generosity will increase your level of happiness. And everybody knows this. The only people who don't know this are the people that are not generous. They're the only ones that don't know this because they haven't experienced the joy that comes from being generous. This is why Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He wasn't just trying to con people about giving their lives over to him, about sharing, about giving to others. This was a truth that Jesus understood. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You want to live fully alive? Stop living for yourself and live life with an open hand. Understand, listen to me this morning, understand that what you've been given is not to be enjoyed just by you. That what you've been given is to be used to help others, to resource others, to make other people's lives come around. It's not about how much you made. It's about how much you gave. It's not about what position you gain, but it's about what you do with the position that you're placed in. It's not about what you attained. It's about what you contributed. So be generous. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your money. Be generous with your experience. Be generous with your heart. And when you start practicing generosity, your joy will overflow. Generous people are the happiest people in the world. You want to live fully alive, live with an open hand. Live with an open hand. Number two, second way, if you'll live this way, you'll live fully alive, is to live with the end in sight. Live with the end in sight. Any country music fans? I know Coachella's going on. I don't think it's the country version of Coachella's happening this weekend, but it'll be coming up in a couple weeks. Some of you will be out there in your trailer. And anyways, some of you just got it. It took you a while. Your country. Live with the end in sight. But I remember growing up, one of my favorite songs was Tim McGraw, and he had a song that was called Live Like You're Dying, right? He said in the song, and he had this near-death experience, it changed the way he lived his life. He said he went skydiving, he went Rocky Mountain climbing, he rode 3.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. I mean, it doesn't get more fully alive than riding a bull named Fu Manchu, right? And Tim McGraw, he had this near-death experience, but when he got a glimpse of eternity, it changed everything about his present experience. When he saw the end, it changed the way that he lived. Now, some of this morning, we need to readjust our focus. Let me remind every one of us this morning that we're not just living for the here and the now. Our eyes are fixed on eternity. This is the continual horizon. This is what is always on our viewfinder. This is what we seek after, we focus on, we strive for. We're always, Paul said it like this, this world is not my home. He had his eyes fixed on eternity. And I'm telling you, you want to live fully alive? Live with the end in sight. Even as Christians, Paul said in Corinthians, he says, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be pitied more than anyone in the world. You want to live fully alive? Live with the end in sight. Eternity is our hope. I want to encourage somebody this morning. I love being around people that think this way, that everything may be falling apart around them, but they're like, it's okay, because I'm not living for the here and now. The trial that I'm going through, the trouble that's taking place around me or inside of me, it pales in comparison to the ultimate reward that I'm looking forward to. They live with the end in sight. They understand that the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the distress, it's all temporary. They've got their eyes fixed on a city, on a place where there'll be no more sorrow, where there'll be no more sickness, where there will be no more tears, and they'll ultimately be in the presence of Jesus where they'll experience eternal joy. You got to live. Listen to me this morning. Some of you need to understand this. Because you're so focused on what's happening around you right now, you've lost sight of the prize. You've lost sight of the reward. I want to remind us this morning, we're not living for what's temporary. We're living with eternity in sight. And when you do this, just like Tim McGraw, when you bring the end in the future into the present, it changes the way that you live. You reorient your entire life around the goal, around the prize. You got to set goals, right? Hashtag goals, baby. You got to set goals. Seriously, it'll change the way you live. Think about it. Think about it. In your finances, you know what you need to do? You need to live with the end in sight. You need to live with the end in sight. You need to think, you know, I want to save $5,000. My goal is to save $5,000. You know what happens? You bring that goal into the present. You bring the future into the present, and you reorient your life around it. Because you got the end in sight. And it's not always enjoyable. Instead of having Starbucks in the morning, you're eating cereal. But you got the end in sight. You see that new house, and you see it decorated. You see that brand new car. You see that brand new body, right? Or whatever goal you set and desire, whatever it is, you bring that future into the present and you orient your life around it in fitness. I'm telling you, I'm talking about living fully alive. You want to change the way that you live, live with the end in sight. A few years ago, I was extremely overweight. I was out of control because I didn't like to diet. I love ice cream. Y'all know I have a sweet tooth. All my teeth are sweet, okay? It's not just one. It's like all of them, even the ones that they took out and put new ones in. Those ones they put in with sweet teeth somehow. I have a sweet, and I've decided to bring the future goal into the present. I decided I would start exercising every day, and at first I didn't enjoy exercising. I didn't enjoy it that every single night of the week I couldn't go to Handel's ice cream, but I had the end in sight. I thought that one day I was gonna have a six pack. I still have this dream. It's still what keeps me going today. It may never happen. That's why I bring the future into the present. You got to set goals. You got to live with the end in sight. You can write this down. You can endure the pain in light of the prize. You can endure the pain in light of the prize. Paul said this. He said, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus." Here's the greatest example of somebody that lived with the end in sight. Watch this. "On whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary," look at this, "because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And today he's now seated at the right hand of God." Ain't you thankful? Jesus, he has a death sentence on his life, but he's still living fully alive. Ain't you thankful that he lived with the end in sight? He didn't decide against going to the cross. He could have pulled himself away. He could have called down legions and thousands of angels to take him out of the situation. But Jesus wasn't focused on the here and now. Ain't you thankful? Jesus looked ahead a couple of thousand years and he saw you and me. He saw the prize. He saw the joy of what was set before him. And he endured the cross. He endured the pain because of the prize. He saw the joy that was set before him. I'm telling you, some of you, you're in a place right now in your life where there's distress, there's trouble, there's pain. Get your eyes off the here and now. Get your eyes set on the prize. Readjust your focus. Bring eternity back in to your vision. Get your eyes off the here and now. Get the end in sight. Live with the end in sight. And today, Jesus sits at the right hand of God. It's coming today. You're going to get that $5,000. You're going to get that six pack. More importantly, there's coming a day when we're going to stand before God and he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy beyond that I have prepared for you." Live with the end in sight. That's why you know people that their life is a mess. There's things around them are falling apart. Situations aren't working around. They still got a big smile on their face. They're still living fully alive because they're not anchored to this world. Their life is anchored to the world to come. Get the end in sight. Some of you are blinded by what's happening around you right now. And God's trying to bring clarity. He's trying to bring vision in line of sight for you. Get the end in sight. Somebody hear me this morning. Get the end in sight. Live with the end in sight. And the third way, if you'll live this way, you'll live fully alive. Number three, live with others in mind. Live with others in mind. So a few years ago, I decided I would take up CrossFit. Fell in love with it. It's what fuels me. Everybody's got their own exercise programs that they like. But one of the epiphanies that I had in doing CrossFit after a few weeks, the first week was grueling. I thought, I'm never going back. I was sore. I couldn't walk. I was aching. I discovered that I had muscles that I didn't even know were there. And I was working them out, and they were painful, and I couldn't hardly move my arms or my legs. But one of the epiphanies that I had as I began to exercise more is I discovered that exercising makes you happy. Did you know physically that literally there are endorphins that are released inside your body when you exercise? And now, every single day, I look forward to 4 o'clock when I can enter into that CrossFit box and I can exercise. And I may be having a really bad day, but I get in there and I do that workout of the day. And when I'm done, man, I am happy. I mean, some of you wake up grumpy, you need to go to the gym in the morning. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed every single day. Go to the gym in the morning. We did this yesterday. Sonny and I did a workout yesterday. The two of us got to go together. We don't get to do that very often. But yesterday, we left the gym. Megan was with us. Don't tell her. Megan woke up a little bit grumpy yesterday, but she went and she did the workout with us. And, man, we were all happy. We came out. We were happy because, literally, there are endorphins that are released in your body when you exercise. And the same applies spiritually. See, God's given you gifts. He's given you talents to be used in the service to others. And what you will discover is as you begin to exercise those gifts, it will release spiritual endorphins inside of you. It will revitalize your spiritual life. This is what we call ministry. When you find your ministry and you start ministering, you start serving others, there are spiritual endorphins. You want to come fully alive? You start living for something greater. You start living for others. You live with others in mind. And spiritually, these gifts, these talents, we'll call them spiritual muscles that God gives you. As you begin to exercise, they release these endorphins in your life, and spiritually you come alive. Let me make this statement this morning. You will never be happier than when you are living out your God-given calling in life to serve others. To serve others. To serve others. You know what these people find? They find fulfillment. They are full. They find fulfillment. You will find fulfillment when you live out the God-given calling on your life to serve other people. One day, Jesus is with his disciples. They're exhausted. Jesus has been teaching. He's been ministering. He's been healing people. Miracles taking place all around him. They decide to pull away to get some rest one day. So they leave Jesus at this spot. And the disciples say, we're going to go. We're going to get you some food. We're going to get you some water. We're going to get some nourishment for our bodies. They go away, they come back, and Jesus is at a well in the middle of the town, village, and he's ministering to a woman. It's the famous story of the woman at the well. And Jesus is there, and he's ministering to this woman. She leaves. Her life is radically changed forever. In fact, she goes back and changes the whole village with the story of what happened in just a few moments with Jesus. The disciples come back, and they're like, what are you doing? We told you to rest. We told you you needed fuel for your body to be able to continue to go forward. What are you doing? And so, listen, we've got food. We got nourishment now, friend. Listen to what Jesus tells them. Jesus replied to them, John 4:32. He says, I have a kind of food that you know nothing about. Jesus was fueled that day by ministering to other people. Listen to me. You want to live fully alive. Live with others in mind. When we take our focus off of ourselves and we begin to put it on others, our life begins to shift dramatically. So I'm talking about when you start living for something that is greater. When you start getting involved with what's going on around you, when you start to serve God's people by serving others, just like we were created, we were called to do, something incredible happens. Our needs are met. Our problems are minimized. We're energized. We're revived. We flourish. We receive that breath of fresh air in areas of our lives that were previously dead when you live with others in mind. And God's placed you in a community with other peoples, Christians and non-Christians alike. He's placed you there so that you can live with others in life. Others in mind, so that you can bring life to other people, so that you can see other people's lives flourish, so that you can bring life to dead people. And when you do this, you will begin to experience what it means to live fully alive. Here's my challenge this morning: start serving other people. Like this morning, you need to find a ministry at the church. I'm talking about like right after service today, you should find somebody at the guest table or welcome table. You're like, I want to sign up for a ministry. I want to get involved at the church. I want to get involved in serving other people. Because right now, if you're not serving other people, your life is stagnant. You're probably dying on the vine. You want to revitalize your spiritual life. Start serving other people. Get involved in ministry, serving others. There is a fuel, there is a food that Jesus says you don't know about. But if you would get involved in doing that, you will find fulfillment. You will truly come alive. I want to share one last story with you. There's a moment during Jesus' time, his ministry on earth. He's already chosen his disciples. They're doing life together. In fact, near the end of Jesus' life, when the disciples are starting to kind of figure things out, that Jesus is leaving, and they're assuming somebody has to take over and be the head honcho of this band of guys, these 12 disciples. And so two of the men, James and John, they start arguing about who should be the greatest, right? Who should be elevated to the position, the highest position amongst this crew of people. In other words, who will reach like the epitome of success. And listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. And then watch this. Jesus, okay, this is Jesus. This is God in flesh. This is what the Son of Man has done. He came not to serve, or he came to serve, not to be served. And then watch this. And then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God. If anybody had the right to be served, it was Jesus. If anybody should have been the one that everybody was lining up to serve, it was Jesus. And Jesus, To resolve the argument about who would be the greatest, right? Who would reach the epitome of success? Hear me this morning. Who will be the greatest? Everybody wants to be great, right? Everybody wants to live fully alive. Everybody wants to reach their potential. If you want to be great, you must become a servant. If you want to be first, you got to become a slave. And even the Son of Man, Jesus, once again, the greatest example of living fully alive was Jesus. Jesus said, this is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life. To give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. Listen to me this morning. If you want to live fully alive, if you want to find real life, true happiness, if you want to find the life that is worth living, you find your life by losing it, by serving other people, by giving your life so that people who are held hostage would be set free. Then you'll know what it's like to live fully alive. I want you to stay with me this morning. Jesus clearly leads by example and gives us the path that if we'll follow, we will live fully alive. Some of you, physically, you're alive this morning, but inside, you're dead. You're lethargic. You're sick. You're unhappy. You're filled with sorrow. You're full of pain. You're not living life like it was meant to be lived. But if you'll lose your life today, if you'll surrender your life completely to Jesus and His calling on your life, His plan, the God-given calling and plan that is on your life, if you'll surrender to that today, you'll know what it means to live fully. I'm telling you, in today, God could spiritually revitalize your life. You could come alive this morning if you would choose to live for something greater than yourself. If you would choose to grow up, to stop being self-centered, to stop focusing on you, and you would live for something greater. And the greatest thing you could give your life to is the kingdom of God. The greatest thing that you could surrender to this morning that would make life worth living and would spiritually revitalize your life is to surrender your life to something greater, to a greater cause, to a greater purpose. And the greatest cause and purpose you can give your life to is the kingdom of God here on earth. So I want you to close your eyes with me this morning, and I want you to just examine your life for a moment. Today you have an opportunity to live fully alive. Like, I believe God wants, this is the way God wants us to live. He created us so we would live fully alive. We'd be full of light, that we would find fulfillment in life. And it would come this morning. I want to challenge you right now in this moment. Would you completely surrender your life to Jesus? Would you submit your life to God's call on your life this morning? Maybe here this morning, you've never really given your life to Jesus. I'm telling you, the greatest life you will ever live is waiting